In the end of Siman Shin Yud, the Sma brings a shaila, briefly discusses a question, talks about a case where someone rents something, he agrees on a rental rate, he returns it late, past the time that he's supposed to return it, so he didn't use it for an extra 2 days, but it just got delayed in getting it back. So in certain cases, you do have to pay for it. The details you'll see in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Poskim. In certain cases, you have to pay. In those cases, the question is, do you pay the full rental rate, the full, let's say, rate per day, or do you subtract something? Why would you subtract? The Tanna explains, because let's say the car rental rate is $40 a day. That's with a certain mileage limitation, a certain mileage expectation. If I have the car doing nothing, so I can say, look, we agreed for $40 a day, so I owe you for every additional day $40, but that's because I'm driving it. If I'm not driving it, then every mile puts some wear and tear on the car, and the odometer tells you how much car is left. So since I didn't put that use on the car, maybe I should be entitled to subtract something from the 40 to pay you the net difference. If you would have had the car, you could have rented out to somebody else. And you would have gotten $40 a day, but you would have had wear and tear on the car. So now it did nothing. So I should pay you, maybe I should pay you less. So the Sma goes back and forth on this question. Not entirely clear which way he ends up. Seems to end up that you do get to deduct something. I want to speak about this question in general. This turns out is a question that comes up all over Chosh and Mishpat. And they are full of steerous contradictions between different Gemaras, different cases. Just try to run through about eight or ten different cases in the Gemara where this basic shaila comes up, where I cause you a loss, or I do something to you which I should have to pay. On the other hand, there's a kind of offsetting gain, that had things turned out differently, you would have had more money, but you would have lost something from some other perspective. So do you use the net value, or do you use the kind of, you just look at what I cost you a loss, and I don't get to offset by any other benefits that you had. One very interesting contemporary version of the shaila I saw involves someone injured somebody else. So one of the things that you pay, we've discussed several times, is sheves. You pay lost wages. So let's say, for example, you're laid up in bed for a week. The victim, let's say the wages would be $1,000 for that week. So I saw an article by Baruch Rockover. He wants to know, he has a whole article revolving around the question, let's say the wages would be $1,000. He says, so $1,000, you'd owe income tax to the government on the $1,000, whatever your marginal rate is. I have no idea if this is true in America or not, but he says, in Israel, he says, the rule is that if you pay somebody compensation for lost wages, that compensation is not subject to income tax. So how much do I owe you, he says? Should I pay you the full $1,000? But then you're gaining because you don't have the offsetting tax anymore. Or do you say, no, the net that you would have had is $750. So it's assuming your marginal rate is 25% or whatever it is. So the net is only $750. Maybe I only owe you $750. If you would tax what I pay you then, obviously I pay you the full $1,000. But the point is, if not, then how much do you pay? Do you pay net, so to speak, or do you pay gross? That's the way he articulates the question. That's basically what the Sma is saying here, too. And it turns out in Chosh and Mishpat, this is discussed in a number of different Gemaras, a number of different sugyas, with different discussions taking place in all different contexts, and it's just full of unresolved steerus, very difficult to know how to pass it.
I guess the rental car, though, seems to be a bit not as compelling, because although the renter, the guy who owns it, assumes that the person's going to drive the car, there's no guarantee that he's going to drive the car anyways, even during the normal rental period. So there may be no way.
You mean he might have rented it out to a guy who only needs to go 2 miles or something?
Yeah,
and,
but he's yeah, okay. still flat.
You can make such an argument that he can always say, I would have rented it out to somebody else who still gotten $40 and not put too much wear and tear on the car. You can definitely raise that type of issue. As we'll see, some Achronim do suggest that kind of distinction to resolve some of the contradictions, maybe. So let's just discuss briefly what some of these other examples are. One example is the Gemara Mavantia. The halacha is that a shomer, someone who's watching property for somebody else, is certainly, if he's a shomer sachar, he has to lay out money if necessary to preserve the object if the robbers are coming to steal the property. And the only way he can fight them off is by hiring security. He has to do that. He bills that cost to the owner. He doesn't have to spend the money out of his own pocket, but the shomer sachar says, look, they're coming, I can't stop them, I had to hire a guard, so send you the bill for the guards. And he's mechuyev to do that. Let's say he doesn't do that. So let's say the cow was worth $1,000. The guards would have cost $50. So he owes the $1,000 for the cow. Can he tell the owner, look, I didn't hire the guards. Had I hired the guards, you would have kept your $1,000 cow, but I would have billed you $50. Now you lost the cow, but I'm not sending you a bill. So do I owe you $950 or do I owe you $1,000? So here, most Rishonim say only $950. The bottom line, the net loss that you had because of me is only $950. Some Rishonim say that you owe $1,000. Nobody really brings riots one way or another, but here are the kind of the common sense position, I think, and the more popular position of the Rishonim is $950. Some say $1,000. Another Gemara. Gemara talks about a case where you have agricultural products, grapes, that are growing on a vine. They're not fully developed yet. They need more time on the vine. Someone goes ahead and destroys them. The halacha is, we're not going to get into why exactly, but the halacha is that you make him pay the amount that the grapes would be worth when they finish growing. You don't look at how much half-ripened grapes are worth. You say, how much will the grapes be worth when they're done? That's how much you owe. Now the question comes up, but if they would grow on the vine, they would take more out of the karka. Karka is always hook chash. As you let things grow, it depletes the karka, it takes nutrients out. So now the grapes are worth $50. Had they grown, they would have been worth $100, but you would have had maybe a $10 loss in the karka. So again, do I pay you $100 net? $100 is the gross. Do you take off $10 and pay you the net of $90? Or do you say no? The grapes are worth $100. Damage to the karka, that's not your business. That's my karka, that's my business. You owe me $100. This is a machlokas in the Gemara. Machlokas Tanaim, machlokas Amarim. This is a shaila in the Gemara. Another shaila in the Gemara, a different Gemara. That Gemara is in Bava Kamma. There's another Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara talks about a sharecropper, the famous Oris, who one encounters in Shas. A sharecropper is supposed to, according to his contract, work the field and give a share of the produce to the owner. Let's say he doesn't work, he just takes the year off and does nothing. Halacha is, he's mechuyev under the terms of his contract, for other reasons, whatever the reason is, he's mechuyev to pay the owner what the field would have produced had he done his job. But now, the Gemara says, he tells the owner, look, had I done my job, you would have had $1,000 worth of soybeans, but your karka would have been, again, depleted by having grown soybeans for a full season. Now, yes, you don't have the $1,000, but you have a karka which is in better shape. Can I deduct that from the $1,000 and give you only maybe $900? Or do you say, no, you owe me $1,000 and nothing else is your business? Here the Gemara says, as far, this is one of the two precedents this Ma brings here. This Ma says, lichush arav lo lichush mara. The guy can say, look, I need $1,000 in cash. I don't want to hear about my long-term capital is going to be worth less for next year. I'll worry about next year. I need the cash now. I need $1,000 now. Don't tell me that, well, it's nice, you have a better karka. It's machlokes in the Gemara, but that's one svara on that, and that's how we paskin. That's one of the two precedents this Ma brings. When you cause somebody a loss of rent, you owe him the full value. The fact that he has some other offsetting benefit is not taken into account.
In the case of the sharecropper, wouldn't he just have to pay the percentage that the owner would have got
it? Oh, absolutely, yeah. I meant if the total yield of the field is worth, let's say, $20,000 and the arrangement was 50-50.
Okay.
He would owe the sharecropper. Does he owe him the full 50 of $10,000, or does he owe him his half minus the cost of the karka? Yes. So absolutely. So that's another example. This one is machlokes amaron. We paskin that you pay the full amount here. Most of the other cases, the more dominant view is that you don't pay the full amount. There are machlokesin again, but this is one of this case we paskin you pay the full amount, and that's the smaz havamina to say here also you should pay the full amount and not discount by the fact that the property would have undergone some depreciation.
So, Robert, why in the case that you hire the guard, then you are allowed to discount?
Nobody knows, and it's a good question. These are a bunch of cases all discussed in isolation, and there is no good systematic treatment of why they're different. When I worked through the sugya, I was kind of surprised. I found some achronim who asked pairwise and some of the steerists, but no. Until the very modern period, some of the modern scholars have tried to put this all together. No really systematic discussion of why. I'm just giving the basic outline of what the problems are, but I'm not really going to have a really good approach for what yes and what not. Another example. Another example, the Gemara talks about someone who, again, a mazik, someone who damages a barrel of wine belonging to somebody else. And similar to the Gemara about the grapes, the Gemara says you would pay the value that the wine would have brought retail. Again, not so simple why you do that, but this Gemara says in Bava Metzia also that if the barrel of wine sold at retail, meaning sold by the glass in a bar or in a restaurant, if the barrel of wine would have fetched $1,000, so you get $1,000, you owe $1,000 for destroying his wine, which would have yielded revenue of $1,000. However, here the Gemara says, and doesn't bring any dispute or any shail at all, here the Gemara takes for granted that you have to offset by the cost that the seller would have entailed to sell the wine. There are a few different examples of what those costs are. One cost is it costs money to hire a special guy to make the thing in the tap in the barrel, to make the hole. Advertising, according to one sheet, you pay for someone to advertise the wine. Basically, in general, it seems that any cost that the seller would have had to be able to get his $1,000 in revenue, you can say, look, you wouldn't have had $1,000, you would have had $1,000 minus these costs. So I'm only paying you your net, and this Gemara says is l'kuliyam. This is not a debate, not a shayla, this is just pasha, you pay the net profit he would have had, not the gross profit.
Presumably the cost of the wine also would be deducted. He had to buy the wine in order to sell it.
Well, what happened was, he already bought the wine.
He produced the wine.
Well, he bought it. So he already paid for it. He laid out money, right. he bought it wholesale, whatever it cost, $900. Now the barrel of wine, a $900 at wholesale barrel of wine will fetch at retail $1,000.
Okay.
He already paid that $900, and now he's expecting to turn this barrel into $1,000 of revenue. You, the mazik, you went along and smashed the barrel
but
of wine.
His net is only $100 then.
Well, the $900 he already paid for. You certainly have to pay him the $900 you have to pay him the $900 that he laid out already.
Right.
He's not getting the money back from his supplier at this point.
No, for sure.
Yeah. So the net is $100, but you owe him basically the entire $900 plus the $100 minus any cost. Right.
I see.
Another example. The other example the Sma brings, the last one, which is a big one, is the halacha of poel batel. This is something that is discussed at length in Hilchos Poelim. If we ever get there, we'll learn about it firsthand. But poel batel is a rule. Let's say, for example, the employer promises the employee a job, and the employee counts on him and turns down other offers and travels out to get to the job, and then the employer reneges and doesn't give him the job. So the halacha is, in many cases, he is chayev. The exact details are quite complicated, but in many cases, he's chayev. And one of the theories, one of the reasons he's chayev, is sort of like Hezek. You cost him a job, he relied on you, and he trusted you, and you caused, as we discussed many times, garmim, you caused him a loss, and you're chayev. Here, the halacha is, though, you don't pay him the full value of the wages that you promised him. You say, look, I promised you $20 an hour for 12 hours of manual labor, so $240. But you would have gotten $240, but you would have spent an entire day doing manual labor. Now you're going to get the money and have free time the whole day to do whatever you want. That's not fair. So the Gemara says, again, there's no debate about this. This is an explicit brisa accepted by all the poskim. Again, you get to adjust the money that you paid him by the fact that he's having the day off instead of doing manual labor. How do you put a price tag on that? Like most of these things, you ask people, you put yourself in people's minds, and you say, what is the typical reduction somebody would take? A worker needs money, he hires himself out at $20 an hour. How much less would he take to get to what percentage of his wages would he require to have the day off? Maybe he would do it for 75% of his wages, maybe he would do it for 25% of his wages. I personally never understood that well. The postman always seem to consider in terms of how hard the work is. Easy work, you would take, you would ask for a much higher percentage. Just because you're not doing it, who cares? You don't mind doing it that much. Very hard work, you might take a lesser percentage. The postman don't really analyze as much the question about the financial need of the worker. A worker who's desperate to feed his child, he doesn't care to have the day off. He desperately needs the money, so he's not taking any reduction. Someone who just working, he basically has money in the bank, he just wants to do something during the day, he wants to have something to productive to do, maybe for him, if you give him the money without, maybe for him, he would take a much lower percentage, whatever it is, whatever the details of this calculation are, the basic rule is that you do reduce the wages that you promised him, the wages that you cost him, by taking into account the fact that he's not actually working. And that is the Sma's Maskana in our case. The Sma initially compared it to the din of Likhush Ara of Likhush Mara, the idea that when the Aris pays the farmer, he pays him the full value of his share of the field without deducting anything lack of depreciate, lack of damage to the karka. His maskana is, based on the din of Paul Batel, that you do get to reduce, by just like Paul Batel, you get to reduce by the fact that he isn't working. So to her, you get to reduce the money you owe him by the fact that his wagon, his animal, is not being worn down by the trip. And the truth is, the Levush says his din, back in the halachas of rentals, next siman actually, that we're going to get to next week, I hope, Bli Neder, Levush says it's in there too. It talks about a case, someone hires a ship and then backs out. In certain cases, he will owe the owner of the ship the rental anyway. If you didn't give him enough time to find a new renter for the ship, you will owe the whole price of the ship. But the Rishonim say, the Riff and the Rambam, that you can adjust downward by the fact that the ship is not being used. So the Riff and the Rambam focus more on the Tercha, that the Toman case where he's going to be on the ship with you, so you saved him the Tercha of operating his ship. But the Levush is, you saved, and it's not just the Tercha, it's this, you saved the ship, the physical damage. So the question is, again, how to reconcile all these cases? That's, you know, unfortunately, we don't have time for that, and there aren't so many good answers for this. Some of the later Akronim and the contemporary authors struggle to try to find some principles that'll make sense out of why, in some cases, you do deduct, sometimes you don't. But this is a very, very serious question in halacha that has all these different precedents, and trying to figure out which one is most applicable to your case is a very tough question.